As we come to the time of the message. Lord God, I want to thank you so much that we can come before you, that you made it possible because of your love and by sending your son Jesus Christ to come to be our Savior. Thank you that we have the relationship through him. Thank you for what he did on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that he paid for my sins, for our sins. As we come before you this morning, Father, it's my prayer that as we come to this time of the message, that we just allow you to speak to each one of us. Father, it's a tough world out there, as you well know. And we definitely need to be walking with you. May your words this morning, Father, through the message, encourage each one of us. May they challenge each one of us. To not put on the armor that you provided. And be able to be out there on the battlefield. Help each one of us, Father. Lord, there may be some who will be watching this service and they may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would pray this morning, Father, that through the power of your Spirit, as only he can do, that he draw them, that they come before you, turning from their sins, receiving your forgiveness, and accepting the precious gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. So I just lift that up to you. I lift up this message to you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with the first service this morning, we're moving into a new series, probably 10 or 12 weeks. One of the longer ones that I do. It's on spiritual warfare. And the one thing we're going to look at this morning is about battlefield assessments. Because I'm going to tell you what, we operate on a battlefield out here. Do you believe that? This world is a real battlefield. I hope this series becomes very helpful to each one of you, because the battle that you and I are involved in is a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare. I think each and every one of us face very real battles during this week. During this past week, you probably did. Amen? You're going to face more next week. You're a soldier. But you know what? The good news is Jesus Christ has already written out the battle plan. Amen. You don't have to sit down and try to go to, you don't have to go to tactical school and all this other stuff. He's already written it out. We just need to get into it and then follow it. But there's also one more thing that it excites me, and I hope it does you. Jesus not only wrote the battle plan, but if you are a born-again believer, and there's an if, there's always the if you are a real follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him personally as your Savior and Lord, you have repented of your sins, you have trusted in him, you have salvation through him, if you are a born-again believer, then the battle is already won and you can't lose. Amen. That is good news. Because no matter what's thrown at you, Christ has already won. And you can't lose. Losing this battle is not a possibility. It's already been sealed. Because the moment that he paid the price for your sin and my sin on the cross, the moment that he rose from the grave, that battle was won. And so even if the worst thing happens to any of us, if we die in this battle, we're going to be home with Jesus Christ, and we won. Maybe he's going to come back soon. you know what? Jesus tells us that we need to prepare for this battle, and we need to take what he's given us so that we can survive the battles of life. Because most of the battles that you fight in life are spiritual battles here on this battlefield. And the cool part is, it's not really hard to win. It's not really hard to get prepared. Most of you have one of these with you. Whoops, too bad. Most of you have one of these with you. It's the Bible. And it has got how to, it tells how to be victorious and how to bust up the problems that you run into each and every day and how to come out on top in the spiritual warfare that you are engaged in. One of the things, most of you know, I served time in the military. I don't know if that sounds good or not. Anyway, I served in the United States Army in the 60s and 70s. And I remember while I was in the Army, one of my assignments was to serve as liaison officer for our Air Defense Battalion to the 8th Infantry Division over in the great land of Deutschland, Germany. Yeah, wonderful experience, wasn't it? Anyway. It was at times. One of the things that was interesting, I reported to this one guy. Now, I was a liaison from our battalion, so I had a lieutenant colonel who had been my boss. But when I became the liaison officer to the division, my boss changed. And he was wearing a star on his shoulder. He was a one star. He was a brigadier general. It's always interesting. In the Army, as an officer, you could always tell who your boss was. You look to see who the guy was that wrote your officer efficiency report was. The first guy that wrote it, that was your boss. He's the guy you better make happy. And my boss at that point in time was this one star brigadier general. Okay. He was our ADC, what we called ADC Alpha, which is the Assistant Division Commander Alpha. There were always two commanders. There was an Alpha and a Bravo, in addition to the division commander himself. But the Alpha was in charge also of the G3 department, which was the operations of the division. And one of the things that the G3 was responsible for was to come up with the contingency strategic battle plan for that division. You go, okay, that's all cool, that's nice. How does that apply to spiritual warfare? Well, part of the planning process involved assessing who the enemy was. Assessing who the enemy was, assessing what his weaponry was, what his nuclear capabilities were back then, and what he was most likely to do on the battlefield. How was he going to attack? In other words, back then we had the Russians we were facing off against. And we knew that they would come from a certain direction, and basically we knew in our plan that they were going to come with all the tanks that they could possibly throw against us. That wasn't a good picture. Fortunately, we had a lot of nukes. But based on the battle assessment, then this ADC Alpha, the G3 type, had to work up what our division had to do in order to be able to go into battle. He had to look at how we were trained. He had to look at what kind of supplies we had. He had to know what kind of weaponry we had. And he had to know how good his troops were under him. You and I also, in our own lives, have to be ready to fight the spiritual battles that we face. Just like an army division had to be ready. We weren't at war at the time, but we had to be ready because you never know when the battle's coming. If you knew when you walked out of here the exact moment that something was going to come into your life you were going to have to deal with, you'd probably go the other direction. Amen? But it doesn't happen that way. It comes at unexpected times. And we face these spiritual battles. It's like God told Paul and had Paul write to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He said, for our struggle, because you got to understand where the battle is coming from, okay? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood? Anybody? The human body. It's not against other people. You hear that? The Bible tells us our struggle is not against other people. Oh, gonna go. It's more fun to fight them. It's easier. I can see them. Yeah, that's true. But our struggle, it says, is against the rulers. It's against the powers. It's against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he goes on, verse 13, and tells us about taking up spiritual armor. We're going to look at spiritual armor separately on another day. Because there is this very real battle, we need to know from where these attacks are going to come, and we need to know how to be ready for them. In other words, how are we going to meet them? And we need to know what are we going to do when we're there on the battlefield? How are we going to respond? So it's just one of the things that we have to understand in spiritual warfare. It's kind of like the soldier on the ground. The wrong time to worry about training is when the bullets start flying. It's a little late when the bullets start to fly to say, oh, I forgot my armor. Oops, I left my Kevlar back there in the tent. Oops, I left my steel pot back there in the tent. Oops, it's a little late. How do you maneuver? Oops, it's a little late. To say, well, I need to go practice that. You bad guys out there, hold up there for a minute. I need to go practice. I don't quite have it down yet. Now, I think every one of us here would agree that we don't live in a problem-free world. You don't live in a problem-free life, do you? Doesn't it seem like no matter what happens in your life, either you're coming out of something or you're going into something. Amen? Or you're right in the middle of slugging it out. But it just seems like there's this cycle. You know, it's in and out, you know, into it, slug it out of it. You know, you go, whew, right? And then right back in. You struggle with stuff. I struggle with stuff. People struggle with stuff. And we go, why do we struggle with stuff? Well, surprisingly enough, the Old Testament tells us exactly why. If we go back into the Old Testament, folks, we go back into Genesis, we find out that the reason that we struggle with things came about because Adam and Eve decided that they were going to do something their way rather than God's way. And ever since then, sin has been a part of man. They haven't found a way to get it out of our DNA. And they never will. Sin is a part of humanity. It's a fact. And we have to deal with that as part of knowing how to win spiritual battles. You and I, you hear this? We, today, we'll sin. Already have. Don't know how many times. Wonder how many times today. I don't even want to count. Folks, sin is nothing more than you and me saying to God, God, I'm going to do it my way. Even though your word says, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do it that way. God, I'm going to do it my way. Because I want to be happy, and I think I know how to make me happier than you do. Because I'm me. You know what that is? It's a three-letter word. Sin. You see, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the world's been broken, hasn't it? It's been broke. You look at the weather, you look at relationships, you look at people, you look at our bodies. We wouldn't need doctors if they weren't broke. We wouldn't need marriage counselors. And folks, there is nothing that can fix the problem except Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that the problem is going to go away while you're living, but Jesus can fix the problem. Amen? So here we are, we're facing this sin problem that is still there. And every one of you who knows Jesus Christ has a real battle going on against you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've got a battle waged against you in order to try to win your soul. The devil wants people's souls. And if you know Jesus, though, back to if you know Jesus, your soul's safe. But that doesn't mean that the battle ceases. It doesn't mean that the kitchen sink isn't going to get thrown at you. It doesn't mean life's going to be coming up a bed of roses. Hate to tell you that. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. But that's a fact of life. Amen? And you know why Satan throws all the stuff at you? You know why? It's not to make you miserable. It's because he doesn't want you to live a life that is effective so that your life gives glory to God. He wants you to be an ineffective Christian. Amen. He wants you to be the biggest stumbling block that you can be to other people, especially the ones that don't know Jesus. Amen? So we have this stuff that's going on, and the Bible calls it the stuff of the flesh, the stuff of the devil. It's this invisible war that's going on. And we can see what's going on, but you don't see who it is that's bringing it about. He's invisible. Amen? That's why Paul described it the way he did there in verse 12. And like I said, we're going to talk about some of that a little bit later on, another session. But today, I want us to look at three areas from where the attacks come from. And we're going to look at the first one, and the first one's the most painful. Because the first one is us. The first avenue of spiritual warfare or spiritual attacks comes through yourself. You bring it on yourself. You go, oh, I don't want to hear that. Folks, it's like when we sit down there and we did an analysis for the division, the first thing we had to look at, we didn't start by looking first at the Ruskies. We started first by looking at 8th Infantry Division. We looked at ourselves. Because you know what? It's a lot easier to go and say, well, I'm going to blame the other guy than it is to blame me. It is so much easier. But the battle that rages starts with us. Satan is very real. But that battle is going on inside of each and every one of us as we fight temptation. As we fight the desire to give in to our sinful nature. You see, temptation is nothing more than your sinful nature, my sinful nature, to want to give in to making the wrong choice. That's all it is. Let me ask you. Is there anybody in here, and be honest, really be honest, brutally honest, is there anybody in here that can say that you never made a decision that was self-destructive? I sure can't. I knew something was wrong, and I went ahead and did it anyway. I'm glad there's honest people. I'm glad that nobody said, that wasn't me. I've never done that. The Bible said if we say we have no sin, we lied. Amen? Yeah. Every one of us has done something like that at some point in time. It might have been as simple as starting to smoke cigarettes, knowing that they weren't any good for us. Amen? That's making a self-destructive decision against yourself, knowing that it wasn't any good, that you shouldn't have done it. Maybe it was getting into a relationship, even though you knew that you shouldn't get into that relationship. Because you knew, in the bottom of your gut, that it was wrong. But boy, he was handsome. Man, she was a doll. Maybe you went out and bought something that you knew you really shouldn't have bought because you couldn't really afford to do it, but you went ahead and did it because you wanted it. And then you couldn't figure out why you couldn't pay the rent or the mortgage or the other bills. Amen? That's too close to home, isn't it? It's amazing how money gets close to home for everybody. Or maybe we took something from our employer. No, they don't need that. They don't use that. But I sure could. Maybe you lied. You know, you stop and you think about it as children. Those of you who have children, those of us who have been children and had children, how many times did we lie to our parents? Going, well, if I just tell a little lie, I can get around this one. Uh-huh. Amen? It's sinning, isn't it? You know, maybe it's lying on a resume. That usually comes back and burns people. Every day we are faced with personal choices, and it's choices to choose either for God or choose against God, one or the other. Is your life going to glorify Him or is it not? It's that constant battle inside of each and every one of us that is constantly going on against sin and the old nature. The old nature says, oh yeah, do it. It's fun. You wanna. But you know what the Bible says, that what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, we're supposed to watch and pray that we do not enter into temptation. It tells us that in Matthew 26, doesn't it? Watch and pray. How are our watching eyes and our praying? Amen? Are we following that one? The Bible says that God always gives us a way out of temptations whenever it's there in front of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Read those sometimes. So part of the first thing that we've got to deal with, and you and I are the only ones that can deal with this one. This is a 100% your willful choice. Nobody else. You can't blame anybody else. You have to choose not to fall into temptation and not to sin. You have to make that choice. I can't make it for you. Jenny can't make it for me. I can't make it for her. I have to choose. She has to choose. You have to choose. Every time. If you fall into temptation, it's nobody else's fault but your own. So fess up and take responsibility when you do so. Because you're the one that has to go and get forgiveness. Amen? Okay. The other part that goes along with that, it's your responsibility and your responsibility alone to stay spiritually fit. Amen. That means you've got to stay in your Bible. It means you've got to talk to the Lord. It means you need to worship with other believers. You need to fellowship with other believers. Those are 100% ours. Ours alone. Nobody else's. And we can't throw that off on somebody else. Okay. The next thing that we want to look at is this second part of this assault, if you will, or this battle that we've run into. And it has to do with the fight that's going on all around us. There's this cultural thing. It's this societal thing that is out there being influenced by the forces of evil that wants to shape you into a societal clone. The world wants to shape you into its image. God tells the Christians we're supposed to be shaped into whose image? Christ's image. And I don't see Jesus, the image of Jesus Christ, as the image of the world. It ain't there, is it, guys and gals? The world does not even look like Jesus Christ. So here is this stuff that's coming out of our culture. It's coming out of our society that's trying to shape you, and it's trying to tear you down. It's trying to make you think the way that it thinks. It's trying to make you want the things that it wants. And it's trying to tell you things like, you know what, if you want to be successful, you got to be number one, and it doesn't matter how you get there. Amen? That's what the world tells you. Doesn't say anything about fair play. Fair play is good only until it doesn't serve your purpose anymore. Cultural message says, hey, if you're either a loser or you're a winner. And if you are knock dead gorgeous, if you're a gal, you're a winner. Or if you're a Hollywood handsome guy, you're a winner. But if you're not, you're a loser. Right? And Madison Avenue's teamed up with him and says, hey, and we've even got the products to help you look like number one. We'll give you the number one face. The cultural and societal message says that you and I need to have a right attitude. Not a Jesus attitude, but an attitude defined by the world, defined by the culture. You've got to talk the right way. PC talk. Amen? And it goes on and on and on. It's like this gay marriage thing that's getting all the attention right now. And even our president, who says that he is a Christian, has come out supporting it, saying that his views have evolved. Huh? Yeah. How do you deal with that? I'm going to tell you how. You need to take the most powerful spiritual weapon that you have in your arsenal, and you need to put it to use. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for the kings and all who are in authority. Is President Obama in authority? Then why aren't we praying for that man? Why aren't we using the most powerful spiritual weapon that we have in the Christian arsenal to ask that God change his heart to line up with his word? Huh? Are you afraid to? Our God is powerful, folks. He is so powerful, all I have to do is go to one of our life groups and listen to the power that I hear coming out of God for healing people. Amen. And you think he can't change somebody's mind? Hello? We need to stop complaining and whining and all that other stuff and get on our knees before God and seriously start praying for our president and the rest of the leaders who are over us. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Our country will not survive if we, the people, and the people that we elect continue to mock God. The Bible says God will not be mocked. And taking stands that are totally against God's word is a mockery. Pray for them. Pray. And then go vote in November. Don't sit around complaining and whining. Amen? Do something. And start with the most powerful weapon that you've got, and that's prayer. Seems like, you know, God says that it's so that we can live a quiet life in all godliness and dignity. It's a pretty good reason for praying that prayer, folks. Okay. What's the most effective weapon that the world uses against us? One of them's peer pressure. Would you agree? And the other one is to offer all sorts of incentives to do something. Those two come at us from the world, comes at us all forms. Co-workers, employers, government, family, right on down, banks, right on down. It goes down through the whole thing. Keep up with the Joneses. I've read something I thought was really hilarious. You know, everybody's always hollering about, oh, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, we got to keep up with the Joneses. Well, the Joneses, they said, are the ones that just recently had their homes foreclosed on, and they also just had to file bankruptcy. So who wants to really keep up with them anyway? Keep up with them, yeah. Two spiritual battles we've looked at first. Two areas that they come from. Ourselves, in that battle against temptation and sin. And secondly, the battle against the cultural and the world battles. Okay, then there's the enemy himself, the one who's got the control of it, the one who's doing, pulling the strings, and we all know who his name is. Amen? Satan. Part of the list or part of the preparation for spiritual warfare is to get to know your enemy and know what he's about. Sometimes people say, oh, Satan attacked me. I doubt very seriously if Satan ever has attacked any one of us because we're not smoldering ashes right now. And I'll tell you what, he has more power than any of us have ever thought about having. There is only one who is more powerful than he. And his name is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. God created him, so Satan isn't all powerful. Amen? But he's very much alive, and he's very much at work today. But he's not equal to our God in any way, shape, or form. Our God's victorious. Our God won. But he is directly involved in every real evil that goes on in this world. He is either involved in it or behind it. Amen? And if you don't think that, it shocks me sometimes. I hear people say, oh, the world isn't all that evil. It's better than it used to be. Man, they must have rose-colored glasses on or blinders. This world's getting worse, folks. There is more evil in this world than I can remember in all of my 60-plus years. All you got to do is watch the news. I don't care even what station you watch. You're going to pick it up and you'll see it. Amen? Go on the internet. People talk about slavery. There is more sex slavery today in this world than there was down through the than slavery period down through the centuries. There's over 14 million people in sex slavery in this world. Think about it. That's evil. Amen? So we've got this war going on around us. But the good news is, our Lord Jesus Christ has won the battle. And he wants us to be the people he's called us to be the prepared soldiers on the battlefield. But you and I have to deal with those three things that we've talked about. The battle against self. And you and I are the only ones that have any control over that one. You are 100% responsible for that one. The battle against culture and society, you got to stand firm on those. You've got a choice. You have to make that choice there. And then there's the battle against Satan and his minions. And again, God's won the whole battle. One of the things I love about our Lord, praise team started to read out of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews today. One of the things I really love about our Lord Jesus Christ is in the Word of God, He has given us examples of people who have already won. Isn't it nice to be able to look at an example of a man or a woman and say, wow, that's how what they went through, and that's how they came through it. Amen? Homework assignment. Read through chapters 11 and 12 of the book of Hebrews this week. I'm hoping that's what our small groups will deal with, is chapters 11 and 12. And look at the men and women of faith. The men and women who went through spiritual battles in their own day and came out victorious on the other side because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They trusted God and God only. You see, God gave us these accounts of these people so that we could learn from them. There's two ways we learn things. One is we can learn from a real good teacher. We can learn from somebody who's been there, done that. Amen? Or the other one is called learning from the school of hard knocks. And I would prefer personally, given the opportunity, I prefer to learn from somebody else because I don't get bruised up as bad. And it doesn't hurt. I would much rather watch people doing battle drill than having to go through them myself. Amen? Because then when you do have to go through battle drill, you already know what's going to happen because you've seen it and you've learned from it. You learn from mistakes. You learn from the positive things. Read through chapters 11 and 12. Two reasons why I want us to go through this spiritual warfare series. One is, as your pastor, I want you to be able to end the race well. I think it's very important that each and every one of us is able to go through the race and end up well. The other part's kind of selfish because I know one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to give an account of myself and I'm going to have to give an account of my ministry. And I do not want to hear Jesus say to me, Jerry, you know what? Why didn't you teach my people at Dallas how to be the best warriors they could have possibly been for the spiritual battles which were coming their way? So from a selfish standpoint, I want to be able to tell Jesus, I showed them. I led them. I taught them. I want to do my part to help you guys win the race. And also, so I hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, from my Lord. God's already won the battle. How are you going to play? What are you going to do in your own life? Are you going to deal with take the responsibilities for temptations and sin? Are you going to stand up against the world, the culture, and say no? Are you going to be prepared by knowing how to use your spiritual armor? Because there's nothing worse than going into the battlefield and you go, oh, you know what? I forgot my helmet. Oops. Oops, I forgot my sword. Gee, I wish I'd done some sword drill back once upon a time. Might be a little bit more effective. Amen? Might be this morning today is a good day to make a commitment to God, to get into His Word, and to learn the battle plan that He's already laid out there. To make a commitment to be a part of this particular series during the next 10 or 12 weeks. The one good thing, and this is one of the reasons why I love technology, you can't always be here on every Sunday morning. But you know what? The messages will be on the internet. I'm going to put them up in the archive. I'll link them in so that each week you can go and pull them back down. There's audio ones, there's podcast ones, and there's video ones. So you get your choice. So if you're not able to be here, my encouragement would be, don't miss it that week. Just get on the net and listen to God's word and allow him to teach you and instruct you that day. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you cared. Not only did you give your son Jesus Christ for us, not only did you give us the power that once we know him, we have the power in our lives to stand firm, but you also gave us the instructions. You gave us the battle plan. It's laid out. And it's my prayer, Father, this morning that each one of us makes a commitment. We make the commitment to get into your plan and allow you to work on each one of our lives so that we truly can be strong, so that we can truly run the race and run it well. So when those battles come against us, we're able to stand firm. We're able to stand and give you all the glory. So Lord, I just lift this time up. If there's decisions that need to be made this morning, if there's commitments that need to be made, if there's recommitments that need to be rekindled, I pray this morning, Father, that we would just honor you and do so. If there's a soul anywhere, Father, within hearing of this message, who your Holy Spirit is drawing this morning, pointing them toward Jesus Christ, I pray this morning, Father, that they would respond, that they would seek your forgiveness, receiving it, and invite our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts, to be their Savior, and to manage their life from this day on, all to your glory. So I just lift this up to you. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, we'll ask our praise team just continue to play. And if there is a decision where you need to make it public, feel free to come this morning. If you need to come and use, if you feel led to come and use the altar, feel free to do so this morning. This is our response time. This is a time where we can respond.